Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Tower's going to be fun. We've got a special event going on in Portland at Helium Comedy Club tomorrow night. The Sklar Brothers, Randy and Jason Sklar, brotherly banter. Very unique act. We've had him on the show multiple times. You may have seen him on Entourage or Curb Your Enthusiasm, or you may have seen them in person at a show. But grab your tickets now at heliumcomedy.com if you're interested. I'm going to talk about a variety of sports events, topics with Randy and Jason. They're joining us now. How you fellas doing? Randy, Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you. We're doing great. Right, Ren?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm great. How are you today?
Are you guys like in the same room but on different phones, or how awkward is this right now?
I'm gonna reveal something right now that we've never revealed. We are only one person.
Yeah.
There is explain
we're living
it,
in a matrix right now. Yeah. No, we're in separate homes. Makes our timing terrible, but gosh darn it, we're happy to be here.
How has the last couple years been for you guys in comedy, and, you know, what kind of projects you've been doing? Like, how weird has it been for you? It's been weird for everybody.
First of all, it's been great. No one is rushing the stage on comedians. They're giving them a lot of respect. It's really kind of fun. Like, comedians don't have to fear for the talk or anything. It's been great. No, we've been great. We actually are – I'll let Jay describe the project we just finished up that we are super excited about.
Yes. Sports fans, get ready. Fans of our old show Cheap Seats from ESPN Classic, we have rebooted Cheap Seats finally after 15 years, and we're doing it for the UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship for their Fight Pass, which is their streaming service. We did 6 episodes, including UFC 1. UFC 1! The very first one ever, and it is just running commentary, gags, sketches. John Hamm did a thing in it. Andy Richter did a thing in it. Rob Corddry did a thing in it. Tony Hale from Arrested Development. It's honestly, it's my favorite thing we've ever done, and we did 6 of them, and they're coming out later this summer, and it's been a blast, right, Rand?
Yeah, so much fun. I mean, look, whenever you can make fun of a 408-pound butter bean, I think day is complete, right there. Yep.
UFC 1, Hoist Gracie, right? I mean, didn't he win that thing without even throwing a punch?
Hoist Gracie fought a guy named Art Jimerson, who was a boxer, who the announcer Bill Wallace called a boxing person. I just wish we had a name for what you would call a boxing person. And Art Jimerson walked into the ring wearing one boxing glove on his right hand, and nothing on his left hand. Even Michael Jackson was like, put a glove on, bro.
I love that. Hey, and you know, you get an idea. Like, this, I gather this is kind of what you guys did growing up. You were on the couch watching whatever was on TV, just kind of being you.
Yeah, it's so good. And that's the thing that kind of, you know, we sort of gathered throughout the years when people would come up to us and be at shows and stuff who loved TV. They're like, it was like we were just hanging out with you guys. And that's what we try to engender. And, you know, this show kind of really takes the best parts of what we did before. You know, we've gotten better over the past 15 years. We figured a lot of stuff out. I love our team of people that we put in place. And like Jay said, we got really talented people to do sketches and stuff for us. It's just going to be fun. So the show's called The Nosebleeds. Perfect. It's not the Cheap Seats. It's The Nosebleeds. We're talking UFC. And it'll be out on UFC Fight Pass this summer. So that is a huge project. And then we're appearing in another couple of episodes of a very popular show. I don't even know if we're allowed to say it, but it's a very popular show, comedy show on the FX network. There's a supernatural quality to it, and then that's all I'm going to say. But we have a really funny arc on that show coming up this summer as well. So we've been busy, man.
I love it. Randy and Jason Sklar, the Sklar brothers, are our guests. They're at Helium Comedy Club tomorrow night. It's one night only, 8 o'clock. Why one night only? Why so exclusive, guys? You guys are getting big time here.
Yeah, we're trying to big time everybody. They wanted us. We almost were said, we'll even just do 15 minutes. We're not even going to do the full hour. We're going to do 15 minutes, either take it or leave it, and then we're what? No. I mean, we're going to be in Seattle the next two nights, and wow. They were like, hey, we know you're up in the Pacific Northwest. You guys want to come up here and do Helium for one night? We're like, of course. We love Helium. We love Portland, right, Jay?
I love Portland. We love McMinimins that are built inside of schools, inside of whatever, the giant books, yeah, Powell books inside of a tiny bookstore. Like, I love all that. Like, that's our jam. We love Portland. We feel like Portland needs to have a baseball team, a professional baseball team.
Yes.
And they should only, it should be like a pop-up stadium. You have to follow them on Instagram. That's how you find out where they play. They all wear, like, gloves the size of their hands, like from the dead ball era. No shift. Come on. Let's do this, Portland. You're ready for it.
I think we call them there's no rules. We call them the Portland Anarchists. Come on. Let's do it.
I love, you know what Portland needs? It needs positive events. So I'm glad you guys are coming, because we need some positive news out there and people to be like, hey, Portland's not all that bad, because we got, like, you know, TV stations for 2 years telling the world that we're all on fire.
Yeah, no, you guys are on fire because you're flamingly awesome. We've loved Portland so much. Both of our wives went to college up there, Lewis and Clark. So we've been up a bunch. And I just think it's the coolest city ever. I mean, there's always, like, any like, city that can have just a store that's just driftwood. And you're like, what are you guys selling in here? And the people who work there are like, we don't even know.
Yeah, you're like, wait, is this found object art? And they're like, no, it's just driftwood. And we're like, so, like, firewood? And they're like, no.
No, it's not firewood. I love that. It's like when you ask someone about Bitcoin. Like, what is it? And they're like, well, it's this thing. And that. You're like, well, what is it? They're like, it's money. We're like, is it money? They're like, no, it's not money. We're like, well, what's cool about it? They're like, well, the governments don't control it. We're like, is that cool? Is that cool?
You know what I love about you guys? It's like, we've had you in studio. It's the chemistry that you have, and it's not even a twin thing. I think it's, you guys are both entertainers. You're both performers. You're both naturally, I think, funny. Where does that come from? Who in your family fostered kind of the amusement park feel that you guys have when you do a show?
I would say our dad. Our dad was a funny dude when he was alive. He was a great, great dude. He used to do this thing when we were 2 years old. If he saw somebody in a restaurant that he knew out and he didn't, and that other person didn't see him, he would have us go over to their table, interrupt the dinner, point at the guy and say, Daddy, and then run away. That's, I think, the beginning of our comedy career, with just upending an entire family unit in like 2 seconds at like a flaming pit. But it was honestly like he totally supported our comedic instincts, even though no one in our family did comedy. No one in our, you know, we didn't have an uncle who was on like the Smothers Brothers show. It was just us. So we kind of have been figuring it out along the way, and that's been its own awesome journey.
Give me an idea of, like, you know, sometimes comedians will say they come up with a bit, they'll write it on a napkin, they save it for later, or they'll work it out. I'm assuming you guys both do that on your own, and then you collaborate later and go, hey, this would be really funny if. Like, how does that process play out?
That's a great question, Rand. You can take it.
Phenomenal question. So the process is a lot like a band. Like, I remember watching the Tom Petty documentary where he's like, you know, I was on tour and then I just had this guitar riff. I just, like, he's in the hotel room or the motel room, wherever they're staying. Back when Tom Petty was staying in motels and he would just walk into the drummer's room and he just has, and he would just play it over and over again. And finally they're like, dude, write a song or shut the you-know-what up. And he wrote The Waiting. Yeah, that's how we got it. And so we had that little kernel of what this thing is. That's kind of what happens to us, is that we bring in, like, hey, this happened weird, or hey, I can't function with all the abuse that my teenage daughters are giving me on a regular basis. And Jay's like, that's funny. I'm like, is it funny? Is it funny to you? Because it feels like I'm living with my two worst internet trolls. And he's like, well, that's funny. And then suddenly off of that, we're writing the next bit that we do. And to me, like, that's great. It just, it forces you to experience your life. And then when you bring back something weird that happens, that's when we start writing.
I love it. Sklar Brothers will be at Helium Comedy Club tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. You can get tickets right now at heliumcomedy.com. You mentioned that you like Portland. Is there any city you won't go to? Like, is there a city that's on your list? You're like, nope, banned and damned. We're not doing it.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, no offense to Kansas City, but they've been wanting us to come. And really, honestly, it's just Jackson Mahomes wants us to dance on someone's memorial. I'm like, why? Why would we do that? There are cities, look, we only go to about 12 cities a year, and we handpick places that, like, we like to go, that cities that we like to be in, cities like that we like to explore. Because for us, you know, people ask us, what's the best part about being a comedy team? And we're like, we get to split the money. So we're doing this for the love of the game, and we definitely aren't going to go to a city where we're not going to get a lot out of it. So, you know, Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, we'll go to Austin, Texas. We'll go to, like, Madison, Wisconsin, Ann Arbor, Vermont, Burlington. We'll go to cool places that for us, you know, feel like a good trip on top of it. Like, Randy's bringing his wife, so we make a trip out of it.
I love that. And I love, too, like, you know, I got three daughters. I would love nothing more, like, to look back as a parent and be like, hey, they still like each other, and you guys are working together. Your parents must have been incredibly proud of that, or probably still are.
Our mom. They are. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, we just had our mom out with us, and she loved it. Like, we brought her to a couple of shows. We brought her a show at the Comedy Store, and it was so nice. We, like, forced the audience to give her a standing ovation, and it was great. And she's just a wonderful person who, like, loves it. Like, we get her laughing. Just to get her laughing, like, that's part of the fun. It kind of starts with that. I mean, it's funny because I feel like what we do in many ways is, like, up-close magic, because a lot of people see someone talking on a stage. They're like, oh, I'm funny at the office. I can do that. And you're like, well, it's not as easy as that looks. It's like you got to come up with ideas and then get out there and you got to relate to people that aren't your coworkers and your family and all that other stuff. So it's just cool to, like, rub the sticks together, start a little comedy fire, see where it goes. Just that's what I love about it.
There have been documentaries about the Comedy Store, and I had Pauly Shore on this show. And we talked about his mom and the environment there. What's it like for you guys to play that venue?
So we've been playing it since 1999. We went and auditioned in 99. Our buddy Nick Swartzen brought us there and said, you gotta audition for Mitzi Shore, which is Pauly's mom. And we're like, we have to audition? We've been on TV already. Why do we have to audition? We already perform at every club in New York. He's like, just go there. You get 2 minutes. It's early on a Monday night. Just do it. And so we go there. The crowd, it's like almost empty. She's sitting in sort of the back of the room. We get up and we do one bit at the time. It was our sort of favorite signature closing bit. And then we walked off stage, and she grabbed our hands, and she's like, you guys were great. I don't know why she was doing a Louis Anderson impression. She's like, you guys were great. And we're like, oh, great. Does that mean we're passed at the Comedy Store? And she's like, yeah, call in for spots. And so I don't think we realized at the time what an honor that was, because ever since then, you know, your name's on the wall. We get to go up whenever we want there. It's gone through a tremendous resurgence in the last, like, 5-6 years. Every room is packed for every show. And you never know. You walk in and, oh, Dave Chappelle's on this stage. Oh, Chris Rock's over here. Oh, Bill Burr's here. It's like, it's insane how wonderful that room has become and how much, you know, people just like the old days. It's almost like back in the 70s, we often heard about the heyday of the Comedy Store, like Richard Pryor was up every night and Robin Williams and David Letterman and Jay Leno. And it kind of just felt like this far-off time, and then now it's back. It's literally the way it was back then.
We'll go up on a Thursday night, and it'll be like us and David Spade and Sebastian Maniscalco and, you know, Andrew Santino and Eric Griffin and Mark Maron and Bill Burr. And you're like, well,
Bobby Lee
and, you know, I mean, it's like Whitney Cummings. It's like an insane lineup. And I think the fans, it's like what they've done that's really good is they've sort of procured a nice base of fans who just love comedy, who are so stoked to come out there. So that place we work every week, and it's really fun. And then there's some other great shows in L.A. that we work to sort of get ourselves ready to then go out on the road and do the hour. And at this point right now, we have like our hour that we're going to do and we're preparing to do as a special. So, like, Portland's going to see our full hour tomorrow night. I'm very excited.
I love that. Helium Comedy Club, 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Tickets at heliumcomedy.com. Randy, Jason, thank you guys. They're the Sklar Brothers. Check them out. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
There they are, the Sklar Brothers. I also love the idea of their UFC. You know, it's almost like the Manning cast with UFC, but with comedians doing the commentary. Fantastic stuff. Anna's going to pop in. We'll visit with Bill Monroe, longtime outdoor writer. We'll talk about salmon in the Willamette River. This show's all over the place, and I love it. Leave it here.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
We had the Sklar Brothers on the show just a few minutes ago talking about comedy. They are going to be at Helium tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Heliumcomedy.com if you want to get tickets. Anna, you like comedy.
I love comedy.
Who's your favorite comedian?
Oh,
right now.
Gosh, that's so hard.
You can see anyone in person right now. Do you go Dave Chappelle? Do you do Sebastian Maniscalco? Do you do Chris Rock? Do you do who would you want to see right now?
I would love to see Chris Rock just because of everything that's happened in the last few months. We've seen Sebastian Maniscalco, and he is as good live as he is on all of his specials. Whatever they are, Amazon Prime or whatever.
The Sklar Brothers said, you know, they go and they work at, you know, they get up to, what's it called? The comedy club? The comedy store?
Yeah.
The Laugh Factory? Yeah. The comedy store.
The comedy store.
Yeah. That's Pauly Shore's mom's place.
Correct.
Right? And he was talking about, like, how they had to get the blessing of Mitzi Shore and how they kind of come in and, like, middle of the day and perform for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get the blessing. And then he mentioned Sebastian Maniscalco, David Spade, whatever. And he's like, you know, you come in on a Thursday night at the comedy store and you see these guys. And they're all part of the same show.
Yeah.
Here's Maniscalco talking about basketball and Italians.
Italians, we don't play basketball. When's the last time you put an NBA game on and said, take a shot, Nunzio? It doesn't hit. Put in Carmine for the three. No. What do we do? Cement, nice cement driveway. Meatball sandwich. Give us a church. We'll paint the whole ceiling. I mean,
what makes somebody funny? What is the secret to comedy?
There's different kinds of funny. That's the thing. That's the beauty of comedy. I mean, Mike Myers funny. Character bits is very different from Sebastian Maniscalco, who does a lot of like observational cultural humor. You know, that's the beauty of it. I mean, comedy, as you know, is the element of surprise and layering on humor. So it's like you've got the setup, you got the punchline, and then you've got a couple layers after that, ideally, you know, because you're dragging out the laughter.
I like when comedians point things out that are plainly obvious that you've never really thought about before.
That's the, like, Seinfeld comedy, right?
But it's almost like here's Jim Gaffigan, who, you know, we're just coming out of the Kentucky Derby, so this is appropriate.
We are a country that loves to bet on horses. Every spring we track the three races of the Triple Crown, and every spring I always have the same thought. We're still doing this? Is Woodrow Wilson president? But people love the Triple Crown, the Kentucky Derby, where people bet on horses while they're dressed like characters from Gone with the Wind. It's like prom for gamblers. Do you like my hat? I'm living in my sister's garage. Because I have a debilitating gambling addiction. Shall we have another mint julep?
I love that.
Yeah, and that was great because there were like five layers to that joke.
Yeah.
It started with Woodrow Wilson, and he just kind of kept layering it on.
Yeah.
And like a bean dip.
But what happens there with that Gaffigan bit is he's Like, if you were going to rate those jokes on a Richter scale of laughter,
yes,
they're like fives out of a 1 to 10 scale, okay? But it's the fact that he goes 5, 5, 5, 5. It's just like jab, 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 jab if you're in a boxing match.
Yeah.
And the totality of it is funny.
The totality, but he's the kind of comic who can go into character like that, and that's what makes that bit so funny, too.
I think it's hilarious. Dave Chappelle does stuff that is more like it's more locked into kind of like what's going on in the world right now.
He's a social commentator.
And I like that too.
Yeah.
I think he's funny. What do you think's going on with people? Like, you know, he did this show recently with a bunch of other comedians and celebrities and, you know, people jumping on stage again. And, you know, Will Smith at the Oscars. Like, what's going on right now?
There's just an irreverence, I think, for the performer who is on a stage, and the Will Smith thing didn't help. And the fact that the Academy didn't shut that down immediately and kick Will Smith out of, you know, the Oscars, instead let him get back up in front of everybody. Everybody was consoling Will Smith, who was consoling Chris Rock, you know, for what happened.
Yeah.
So
the person who went up on stage at Dave Chappelle, I don't know if you saw some of the pictures afterwards, but I don't think anybody else is going to be going up on stage at Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, the bodyguards just pummeled the guy like a pinata. And, you know, and they're justified in doing so. I mean, that's their job, is to protect the comedian on the stage. But his arm was like bent the wrong way afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was, and then we have this other thing going on right now, and the Sklar brothers touched on it. They're doing a kind of a Manning cast-like thing with UFC now. They're going back.
That's already funny.
Yeah. They're going back, and they're looking at old UFC fights.
Oh, jeez.
And it's just the two brothers making fun of what they see on TV. I got to think in their hearts, like, I didn't ask them this question, but they have to be looking at each other going, they're paying us for this? This is what we do at home on the couch.
That's great.
You know?
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. And that's a unique take.
You know, and we recently played that Bill Burr bit where he was, you know, at a Boston game, or it was a baseball game, where he popped into the studio.
Yeah.
And he got, you know, I think that, like, the more I think about it, I think about this yesterday. Tom Brady does this deal with Fox. It feels to me like the trend in broadcasting for sporting events is a lot like how I approach sporting events. Like, I assume that the listeners are watching the games that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about the box score. I don't want to get too far inside the actual game. I want to talk about larger topics, right?
Yeah.
So I think the broadcasts are being more designed like the Manning cast, maybe Tom Brady getting in the broadcast booth, of course Bill Burr at a baseball game. It's more about like just adding a layer of entertainment beyond the game.
Yeah. I mean, the purists, don't you think the purists are probably, you know, up in arms about it, because they're like, we just want to hear the game. We want to hear a regular announcer.
Yeah.
But I think by bringing that kind of star power and the comedic and entertainment value in, you're casting a wider net, because you're taking someone like me, who's just kind of more of a casual fan, barely, and suddenly I'm interested because you've added something else to the broadcast that, you know, is interesting.
Well put. Coming up, Bill Monroe, one of the greatest outdoor writers in our region. He is the person when it comes to talking about the rivers and the fish in them. Bill Monroe joins us next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.